what happened. Give me some idea of what I'm dealing with. Luke said he had a difficult childhood. Maybe if I knew more about him, I'd know what I'm up against. Noelle said. Tough childhood, my backside. When did he tell you that?
When we met, I said. I used to talk to him after school.
And were you by any chance telling him about your own difficult childhood?
Yes, I said. But what's that got to do with anything?
Noelle's mouth jerked upwards in a sardonic smile. He was mirroring you. Luke's an expert manipulator. That's what makes him so dangerous.
But why? I said, gesticulating my confusion with my palms splayed wide open. Why is he doing this?
Outside, a bus rumbled past, followed by a string of cars. Noelle seemed to be mulling over my question, working out if she could trust me with the response. She looked at me glumly before responding, her elbow on the inside window frame as she leaned on her right fist.
He's a sociopath, pure and simple. The world revolves around his wants and needs. The rest of us are just here for his amusement.
I frowned.
But he said that he was abused. Did he make the whole thing up?
Noelle looked me in the eye, her expression resolute. The only abuse here is how he's bled my parents dry over the years, manipulating them into parting with their money. A university education, the latest gadgets, a brand new car. She glanced around her own worn-out vehicle. Through the crack in the windscreen, she probably couldn't afford to repair. But her face held nothing but concern as she mentioned her mother's ill health.
I'm sure it's the stress that's caused Mum to become ill. She got divorced 5 years ago, and it's been tough for her, having to adjust, especially financially. She's virtually penniless. The last thing she needs is Luke turning up at her door.
I bit my lip as I realized the implication of her words.
He lied about everything. Luke said he came from a single-parent family, just like me.
It's messed up, isn't it? He's always had a fascination for schoolgirls.
It's wrong. All wrong.
So why did I get the blame for what happened in school? I said.
A faint smile rose to Noelle's lips. You're not exactly Snow White, love. I was forever looking out my window and seeing your face in the street below. Besides, he was my brother. I only saw the worst of him after he was kicked out of school.
For what happened to Sophie? I said.
Sophie Smith was the girl in the year below me who had replaced me as the focus of Luke's attentions. That was why I had kept up monitoring his whereabouts long after I accepted he had finished with me. It was also why I had written an anonymous letter telling her parents what was really going on. It had taken me a long time to gather up the strength to fight him after he'd threatened me in my own home. But I could not stand by and watch him destroy another life. That used up the last of my mum's money, paying them both off so they wouldn't call the police. Mum was such a sucker for Luke's sob stories, blaming everyone else, saying he was misunderstood. After the money well ran dry, he disappeared, but not before he got his own back on me.
You, I said, wondering if I had heard her right.
What did you do?
Tried to stop him, told him I was going to the police.
He tampered with the brakes of my car.
She lifted the left sleeve of her black dress. A long, white scar ran down the length of her inner arm.
That's a result of the accident. I have nerve damage. It's permanent, but it's nothing compared to what could have happened that day.
She gazed at me, her eyes filled with renewed conviction.
That's what I mean when I say he's dangerous. He's got unfinished business with you. That's one angry hornet's nest you don't want to be poking.
It's too late for that, I said flatly, my stomach churning at the thought.
I think he's already here. That's why I asked if you'd spoken to him, so I could at least know what frame of mind he's in.
Noelle's head swiveled from left to right as she checked the street outside.
Then I suggest you get as far away from him as possible. Leaning over me, she grabbed the car door lever and pushed the door open. Straightening herself in her seat, she turned over the car engine and waited for me to depart. "I'm sorry, but you're on your own." Chapter 57, Emma, 2017. Alex met me at the front door, looking over my shoulder before letting me in. I had witnessed him experience the whole gamut of emotions since I'd confessed to burying Luke in a shallow grave. He was usually so easy to read it was painful, from shock to fear to fierce protection as he tried to work out what to do for the best. Today, his anger was evident. "Where have you been?" he said gruffly, closing the front door behind me. "Because I know you weren't meeting a client at the shop. I've been ringing non-stop. Then I got Teresa to check, and she said you weren't there." I tried to brush past him, but he grabbed me by the forearm. "Emma, did you hear what I said?" I stiffened. "What's the point? You won't believe a word I say." My eyes flicked to the grandfather clock as it chimed in the hall. "Is Jamie in bed?" It was only 8 o'clock, but I knew he was tired from his exertions in school. I hated missing kissing him goodnight. "He's asleep," Alex said, loosening his grip. He followed me into the kitchen, where the smell of garlic and tomatoes still hung in the air. I took in the dirty frying pan and unwashed plates piled in the sink. Pushing up my sweatshirt sleeves, I turned on the tap. We didn't own a dishwasher because there was no room in the kitchen to plumb it in. It had always seemed unnecessary, given there were only 3 of us at home. "For God's sake, stop messing around with the dishes and look at me!" Alex shouted, making me jump. Shutting off the tap, I slowly turned to face him. My eye twitched in a nervous tick as I absorbed the anger emanating from his body. "What do you want?"
"What do I want? You're joking me, aren't you?
I've been worried sick. Why don't you start by telling me what's going on?" "I'm sorry," I said, feeling like I had not slept in a month. "I went to see Luke's sister to find out if he's alive, but she doesn't know where he is."
"What?"
Groaning, Alex rubbed his forehead with his hand. I folded my arms, my back against the kitchen counter. I hated seeing him like this, but all the fight had left me. I didn't want to argue anymore. "I had to do something," I said. My words were slow and deliberate. It was as if I'd had too much to drink and were pretending to be sober. I could not look Alex in the eye for fear that I might laugh out loud. It was something that would probably frighten me later, but for now, detachment felt preferable to facing up to what I had done. "Anyway, she couldn't tell me much. She's too scared of him to find out where he is." Alex threw me a glare that conveyed he was not entirely convinced.
"Please tell me you haven't done anything to hurt her."
"Of course not," I said. "What do you take me for?" I tried to give him a reassuring smile as I realized the irony of my statement. It quickly dropped from my face as I took in the extent of his anger. He was in a foul mood, and nothing I said would ease it.
"So, everything you said about meeting a client was a lie."
I could have turned the tables on him, asked how his coffee with Teresa had been, but instead I turned back to the sink and immersed my hands in the hot, soapy water. The bubbles felt nice on my skin, and I squeezed the sponge as I ran it over the plates. I did not want to think about Luke or Noelle or the binge I'd partaken in today. I was not sure my mind could cope with it. But Alex stood over me, filling the air with hushed accusations. It was my fault I had dragged the family into this. All I did was tell a lie. I didn't take his feelings into consideration for a second. Did I love him at all? I allowed his words to flow over me, waiting for him to run out of steam. I knew he was keeping his voice down because Jamie was asleep, and I wondered if it would be better for him to just let it all out. By the time I had washed and dried the dishes, his outburst had come to an end. A one-sided argument could only last so long, particularly when the object of your frustrations remained unresponsive. Slowly, I felt the fog in my brain clear, and I dried my hands before taking a seat at the kitchen table. "I'm sorry," I said. "I know I've put you through a lot. I won't go behind your back again." Alex sagged in the chair, his energy spent. "When you didn't answer the phone at the shop, I thought the worst." He took a deep breath, his face carrying some extra worry lines that weren't there before. "What's going to happen when we go to Leeds? I mean, sure, we can move away, but are we still going to have a marriage at the end of all this?" Tears pricked my eyes, real emotion finally worming its way into my heart. "Please, Alex, don't say that. I thought I could meet Noelle and ask her if she'd heard from him. I don't think I'm being unreasonable. It's driving me mad, not knowing if he's dead or alive, if everything that's happening is down to him, or if I'm slowly losing my mind." My chin wobbled as I spoke, and I wiped a tear from the corner of my eye. "It's killing me inside." Alex's head hung low on his shoulders, and when he raised it to meet mine, all traces of anger had dissipated. "You can't afford to draw attention to yourself. Leave it to me. I've been working in the background, making inquiries." He spoke slowly and carefully, as if he were talking to a 4-year-old child. I nodded, grateful that he was taking control. My head was swimming in confusion, and I no longer felt like I could make the right decision for myself. I grabbed his shirt sleeve, hating myself for being so needy. "Please don't leave me. I don't want to be here on my own." "Of course, I'm not going to leave you," he said, leaning over to place his hands on mine. "But you have to let me sort this out." "Did his sister mention when she last saw him?" I shook my head. "Not since before what happened in the paddock. Her family have broken all contact. Her mum is very unwell. Noelle seems to think that further contact from Luke could finish her off. She said he's caused the family nothing but heartbreak over the years." "Then it's all the more reason for you to be careful. First Jamie and now this. Don't go stirring things up." I rose from my chair, my situation becoming grimmer by the minute. "I'm going to peep in on Jamie," I said, feeling like I was carrying the whole world on my shoulders. Chapter 58, Emma, 2003. The antiseptic tang that assailed my nostrils told me I was not at home anymore. I tried to bring my vision into focus as I blinked. My chest was tight, and I felt like someone had poured a bag of grit into my eyes and throat. A warm hand squeezed mine, and for a second my heart fluttered as I wondered if Luke had come to my rescue after all. The last thing I remembered was being dragged out of my smoking house by a pair of strong hands, and it made me melt to know he cared after all. "Hey, are you okay?" Teresa said, and I rubbed my eyes, disappointment bringing instant tears as I realized that Luke was not there. "Shh, don't try to talk," she soothed, squeezing my hand. "You're lucky to be alive. You gave us an awful fright." My eyes grew wide as I looked around the hospital room. A curtain shielded my bed. On the locker beside me were a bunch of carnations and a punnet of grapes. "Dad's in the men's ward. He dragged you out of the fire. It's not done his lungs much good." I groaned. How could I have been so selfish? Why hadn't I just taken some pills instead of the need for all the drama? I knew why. Because I still thought Luke would come to save me, and the flames would light up the sky like a beacon. "Luke," I croaked, forgetting my promise to keep quiet about us. "Oh, babe," Teresa said. "I know. Everyone does. It's all come out." I licked my dry, cracked lips as I tried to force out the words, feeling grateful that the sorest part of my body were my lungs and throat. I could have been scarred for life. How could I have been so stupid? "Shh, Just listen, Teresa said, looking as if she had not slept all night. Devoid of makeup, her face was pale and gaunt, her unwashed blonde hair scraped back into a ponytail. You're not in any trouble, but the police are waiting to speak to you. I don't want you to get a fright when they turn up. Police? I croaked, fear spearing my heart. Had something happened to Luke? I imagined him rushing over to save me. A car accident, maybe. Had he been killed? Had the police found my texts on his phone? I bit my lip as a wave of anxiety threatened to engulf me. It's okay. It's all been sorted. You should have spoken to me. I know I've not been about lately, but I'm only at the end of the phone. She glanced through the crack in the curtain before lowering her voice. They need to serve you with a harassment warning. Luke went to the police about it when he heard you were in hospital. He said you've been stalking him for months. I spoke to him on the phone. He said he's sorry it's gone this far, but he had to report it to the police to stop you hurting yourself again. But he... I took a painful breath, barely able to believe her words. He kissed me. Teresa's gaze fell to the floor. She didn't believe me. I know things have been tough since Mum went, but I thought you were feeling better about things. Dad said that you were improving. I had no idea that all this stuff was going on. She sighed, quickly checking her phone before sliding it back in her pocket. You were lucky. That white spirit you used. Dad bought it from one of his cronies in the pub when he was redecorating the house, but he was going to throw it out because it was so watered down. I tried to swallow, my throat tight from breathing in the fumes. How much worse would I have been if it were full strength? But then again, I wouldn't be here at all. Tears pricked my eyes as I tried to come to terms with Luke's betrayal. He had only just called the police, which meant he was covering his back. He had no intention of saving me at all. Oblivious to the reasons behind my distress, Teresa kept talking. There's a bit of fire damage to the house, but nothing that can't be fixed. The best thing you can do is to accept the warning and say no more. Luke said he's willing to forget about things if you are, wipe the slate clean, although you won't be in his class anymore. She gave my hand another squeeze. We're going to get you some counseling. I know you've not been eating properly, but we'll sort it. Everything's going to be fine. She let go of my hand to pick up a cardboard gift bag that had been on the floor. Here, I got you a present, she said, pulling a stiff collectible teddy bear from its tissue paper wrapping. Thanks, I said, stroking its fur. I had stopped collecting teddies at the age of 11. With an aching sense of loneliness, I realized that I couldn't confide in my sister about Luke now, even if I wanted to. Teresa was a stranger to me. She didn't know me at all.
Chapter 59 Alex 2017 My flesh crawled as Teresa's text came through. See you in 1 hour. I replied with the thumbs-up emoji, not trusting myself to say any more. It was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I tried to understand Teresa's reasoning for meeting at this hour. After being made aware of Emma's encounter with Luke's sister, she had insisted we bring forward the dig to tonight. I suppressed a shudder. The place gave me the creeps during the day. God knows what it was going to be like down there at night. I gently shook Emma by the shoulder, not willing to slip away without making her aware. Emma. I bent over, my lips close to her ear. The last thing I wanted was to wake Jamie as he slept. My son and I had eaten our supper, just the two of us, me wondering if this was what it would be like should our marriage come to an end. Taking Jamie at weekends while Emma had him weekdays. In my eyes, it was a fractured upbringing. He deserved so much more.
Mm-hmm,
Emma said, her words thick with sleep. I've got to go into work. There's been a flood in the Colchester office, and the caretaker can't get hold of anyone else. It seemed as good an excuse as any, and she accepted it readily before turning to go back to sleep. I parked as close as I could to the field. I could have walked the whole way, but I had told Emma I was going to work, so needed to take the car. I was grateful for the full moon as I trudged along the muddy path. All I could hear were my boots being sucked in by the mud and the rustle of nocturnal creatures, startled by my nighttime visit. I could feel their eyes on me, watching my every movement. I gripped my torch tightly, my senses on edge as I listened for every sound. The moon reflected against the frame of the digger, casting the metal in a blue-gray hue. As I approached it, I could not believe what I was about to do.
"Boo!"
Teresa shrieked, jumping out from behind the machine. She was wearing a long black coat and woolen hat, and I had not seen her approach. I clasped my hand to my chest as she dissolved into fits of giggles before me.
"You nearly gave me a heart attack,"
I gasped, and despite the grotesque situation, I found myself laughing just the same. But it was dark humor, mingled with a sudden sense of dread. It was several seconds before we gathered our strength, ready to focus on the task ahead.
"If you don't laugh, you'll cry,"
Teresa said, handing me the keys.
"Know how to work one of these things?"
Leading me to the cab, she showed me the controls. She flicked a switch, casting a spotlight on the ditch. With the help of the mini digger, it wouldn't take long to get into the drain. A sudden flapping noise rose from the oak tree overhead. I ducked as a white feathery creature screeched its disapproval before flying away.
"It's just an owl," Teresa said. "God, you really are a city boy, aren't you?"
I tried to laugh it off, but this time I struggled to raise a smile to my lips. Goosebumps rose across my flesh as I thought about the implications of our actions. Granted, I had apparently spoken to Luke, but what if we uncovered something? We could be digging up a grave. How would I feel if I unearthed the corpse of a man Emma had killed? Could I look at her the same way again? I turned the keys in the ignition. The rumbling sound of the engine provided comfort, anything to break up the hoots and screeches of this dark, observing world. With Teresa instructing, I tore the bucket of the digger into the soil. I breathed in through my nose, strong, steady breaths, stopping to survey the land as we dug down the first foot. Just as Emma had described, there was no trace of any corpse, and I grew a little more relieved with each scoop. Soon we reached 3 feet down, and I was making short work of it with the digger. I tried not to imagine Emma with her shovel, the tang of metal against the earth as it sliced through the soil. But she had described the moment with sickening clarity, and the image came just the same. I was ready to call it a night when we dug 4 feet down, but Teresa insisted we keep going, just in case. I couldn't imagine Emma digging this far down with a shovel. Could her adrenaline have fueled her? Just how accurate had her memory been? On I dug, the controls vibrating under my grip, the machine screeching as it swiveled left to right, dumping the black, insect-infested soil. Under the light of the moon, the world took on a surreal aspect, and I was working on autopilot when Teresa shouted at me to stop. Her call was loud and piercing, easily heard over the rumble of the digger. I switched off the engine, my hand still buzzing from the vibration of the controls. Teresa was pointing frantically into the bucket, which held the freshly dug soil. Something in there was white, glinting in the moonlight, and I jumped out for a closer look, my legs feeling like jelly as I walked. Our breaths labored. We approached the bucket, aiming our torches for a clearer view. I felt like I was in a scene of a horror movie as I approached the digger bucket. My legs and arms moved under their own steam as if they weren't a part of me anymore. It would have been easy to convince myself I was dreaming, that any minute I would wake up to find that none of this had been real. But there was no reprieve as we peered into the dirt, both rooted to the spot. Teresa was not laughing now, instead her mouth forming a perfect O. In this moment,
I knew that my life was going to change forever. Steady, Teresa said, as I almost lost my footing in the mud. We stared at the subject of our torch beams, each waiting for the other to make the first move. Neither of us wanted to touch the bone jutting out of the soil. It could be an animal, I said, realizing I was whispering and not knowing why. Look, Teresa said, diverting her torch to the bottom of the pit we had just dug. A long, thin bone lay on top, attached to what looked like a skeletal hand. It took every ounce of my strength not to drop my torch and run. Christ, I said, my stomach turning over as a sudden wave of nausea took hold. I must have beheaded it with the digger. The taste of tomato-flavored bile rose in my throat, and I swallowed it back, fighting to keep the contents of my stomach in place. Teresa's face had lost all color, even her lips had paled from shock. Closing her eyes briefly, she took a deep breath, pulled back her jacket sleeve and checked her watch. Right. We have to finish this by hand. Do you want me to get into the hole? The last thing I wanted to do was to volunteer, but Teresa was shaking, and I would not be much of a man if I looked on. I'll do it, I said, forcing my feet towards the digger bucket. But first, we need to get rid of this. I worked through the mud with gloved fingers as Teresa looked on, carefully plucking the bone from the digger bucket. My heart hammering, I brushed away patches of dirt to reveal a human skull. I stared into its hollowed eyes. Its sockets were thick with mud. Wisps of hair still clung to the bone, finding life as the cool night breeze took them. God, I said. It's him. It's really him. I breathed the words, my voice hollow with disbelief. Thoughts flowed like ice water through my veins. I shuddered. My wife, a murderer. Emma must have buried him deeper than she thought, Teresa said. I nodded. Emma had been telling the truth all along. She had killed Luke, and now she was driving herself insane, punishing herself over and over for her crimes. I heard something rustle behind me, and saw Teresa holding out a bin bag. At least she had come prepared. I had not planned on what we were going to do if we actually discovered a body, or the remains of one. I stiffened at the thought of Jamie at home with Emma. I could not afford to waste time. We had to finish this. Pulling a sheet from the bag, Teresa offered it up to me.
Place it in here,
she sniffed, and I realized she was crying.
It deserves some respect. I'll find a way of disposing of it later on.
Gently, I wrapped the skull in the cloth before placing it into the bag. I can't ask you to take this, I said. It's implicating you in a crime. You could go to prison for a very long time.
Only if we're found out, Teresa said. This is our secret now. Besides, I'm implicated already. It was me who hired the digger, don't forget. There's no walking away from this, for either of us.
A thought struck me. If this is Luke, then who was I talking to in Leeds?
I don't know.
Teresa was ashen. She wiped her tears with the back of her hand, streaking her skin with mud.
I can't think about that right now. Please, let's just hurry up so we can both get out of here.
Reluctantly, I jumped into the ditch, trying to push back the feeling I was climbing into my own grave. Above me, the machinery loomed, and I almost expected the wail of police sirens to scream into life. But there was nothing apart from the soft rustle of the oak tree overhead, and Teresa sniffling in the background. I clawed at the ground until I recovered the remains of the skeleton. I worked automatically, disassociating myself from my task in order to carry on. So much had happened that my brain was barely able to take it all in. Using my torch, I searched for pieces of clothing, any extra clues to the identity of the skeleton beneath my feet.
but there was nothing but bones and scraps of white material. Teresa and I exchanged a glance as I handed her the last of the remains. A breath thick with exertion, she reached out a hand to pull me up from the hole. A light sprinkling of rain began to fall on my face. Time was running out.
Cover it in as quick as you can, then we'll pull some branches across.
I admired her strength as she took control and told me what to do. I can't believe that's all that's left, I said, watching as Teresa carefully wrapped our finds. No shoes, no personal effects. I'd have thought there would have been more.
It's been here years. They could have disintegrated, or maybe Emma disposed of them elsewhere so he wouldn't be recognized.
She glanced over her shoulder at me.
Come on, you need to get moving. We can talk about this later.
But where are we going to put him? Teresa gave me a knowing look.
Leave that to me. The less you know about it, the better.
She closed the bag and stepped back out of the way.
Emma's my sister. This is my mess too. I should have been there for her.
She looked at me as if to ask why I was still standing there.
Quickly! We don't have much time.
I wiped a bead of sweat from my forehead before shrugging off my coat and throwing it onto the fence. The wind cooled my face, and I welcomed the light mist of rain that accompanied it. Hot from exertion, my mind was working overtime as I climbed into the cab of the digger. The bucket swung as my hand slipped on the controls, my fingers slick with rain and mud.
Steady!
Teresa shouted, jumping out of the way. Sorry! I said, pausing to take a breath before drying my hands on my coat. I set to work, churning over the soil and filling in the empty grave. I tried not to imagine how Emma had felt as she shoveled dirt on top of Luke's body. Disgust rose within me. I wanted to pack my things, take my child away from this awful place and start again. But I had so many unanswered questions. Who was the man I'd met in Leeds? Surely that meant that someone else was in on the secret, too. They could be watching us right now, waiting for Emma to lead them to Luke. I shivered, grateful that Teresa had arranged to dig at night. She was reliable, someone I could trust, unlike my wife. Throughout the haze of revulsion, one question loomed clear in my mind. Yes, I wanted to leave. But did I want Emma to come with me? And could I trust her with my son?
Chapter 60, Alex, 2017. Dawn streaked the sky as the rising sun bled on the horizon, signaling the beginning of a new day. With a heavy heart, I climbed down from the digger, dreading the muddy trudge back to my car. My legs felt like lead as I approached Teresa, who was kneeling on one knee over the wrapped remains. Overwhelmed with guilt, I laid my hand on her shoulder and squeezed.
I'm sorry, I said. I should never have involved you. I honestly didn't expect to find anything.
I noticed fresh tears on her cheeks as she rose, and she bowed her head as she wiped them away. It was her all over, wanting to appear strong and in control.
It's so sad, she said, to end up like this, reduced to a pile of bones in an unmarked grave.
I sighed, unable to keep my opinion to myself another second. I know Emma's my wife and I love her, but how could she? I glanced down at the remains. This was a real person, a human life. But Teresa did not have the answers any more than I did. Her shoulders shook as she sobbed, and I drew my arms around her.
Shh, it's going to be okay. We'll sort this out, I promise.
She wrapped her arms around me, the warmth of her body providing comfort. I closed my eyes, breathing in the scent of her hair. Silence fell, and we drew back from each other. I cleared my throat. Having sensed my hesitance, Teresa stepped away, heat rising to her cheeks.
Sorry,
she said, wiping away the last of her tears.
It's not like me to fall apart like this. You go home to Emma. It'll be morning soon. She'll be wondering where you are.
I don't know if I can do this, I said. Act like nothing's happened.
You have to. What choice do we have? At least now you can sell the house without worrying about what they'll find.
But it was not that easy, and we both knew it. Time after time I had prayed Emma had got it wrong, and this would all be proven to be a mistake. But now, with the evidence of a body, there was no disputing the facts. I was living with a stalker who had murdered her victim. Her mental health was already declining. What if I said the wrong word, threatened to take Jamie away? Was this the fate that awaited me? As I drove towards home, I could not imagine what Teresa was going through, with those skeletal remains in the boot of her car. Just what had she planned? What would she say if she were stopped by the police? It did not bear thinking about. But right now my worries were closer to home. The sight of light in our bedroom made me grip the steering wheel tight. What was Emma doing up at this hour of the morning? Was Jamie okay? I quickly flung off my Wellingtons and protective trousers before changing into my shoes. There was nothing I could do about the mud lining the sides of the car, but at least I looked reasonably clean. I opened the front door, only to be met by Emma, wide-eyed and staring, with Jamie clinging to her side.
Daddy!
He cried, running towards me, and I quickly checked him over before taking him in my arms. He clung to me tightly, burying his face in my shoulder.
Hey, it's okay,
I said, trying to provide reassurance.
Everything's going to be all right.
Mummy said there was a bad man outside.
He stuttered, each word piercing my heart. I glared at Emma, trying to keep my tone low.
What the hell's happened?
I said, rubbing Jamie's back as I soothed him. But Emma stared at me vacantly, tears springing to her eyes.
Emma!
I said, trying to snap her out of whatever trance she was in. She pointed to the door.
It was Luke. He was outside.
She turned, leading me out to the kitchen. Every light in the house was switched on.
Here.
She pointed at the kitchen window.
I saw his face in the window.
Her eyes were wild, her hair windswept. I glared at her mud-caked feet in disbelief.
Have you been outside?
I said, fear creeping up my back as I thought of where I'd been just minutes before.
We need to call the police,
she said, staring over my shoulder through the window.
I heard noises. He's out there. It's only a matter of time before he comes back.
She grabbed my arms, making Jamie tighten his grip. But the more I tried to reassure our son, the louder Emma became.
Can't you see?
She said, grabbing my forearm.
He's been doing all these things and blaming me!
Pull yourself together! You're frightening Jamie!
I said, yanking my arm from her grip. I had just had the most horrific night of my life, and now it seemed never-ending. How could I tell her that the noise that she had heard was most likely the digger Teresa had hired? Holding on to my son, I checked the doors and windows were secure.
Has anyone been in the house?
I said, trying to establish what had happened in my absence. I was rewarded with a quick shake of the head. I carried Jamie back to bed and wrapped him up in his blanket. Dawn had seeped through the sky as soft shafts of golden light touched his bedspread.
Where were you, Daddy?
Jamie said, his words punctuated with a yawn.
At work, but I'm back now. What happened? Did Mummy have a nightmare?
I said. It was the only thing I could think of to chase his worries away. Jamie shrugged, drawing his teddy to his chest as the memory filtered in.
Mummy woke me up because she was shouting, but when I looked for her, there was nobody here.
His bottom lip trembled.
I was scared.
We're here now,
I said, fingering his soft blonde hair from his forehead.
Mummy said there was a bad man outside. She was trying to chase him away. I don't want the bad man to get me.
I inhaled deeply, trying to push my rising anger down. The only bad man was the one in Emma's head. I couldn't afford to leave Jamie alone with her anymore. You get some sleep, I said. Mummy was just dreaming. Daddy's going to look after you. I'm never leaving you alone again. Jamie raised his little finger for the most solemn of vows.
Pinky promise,
he said, and my heart melted as I joined my little finger in his. Pinky promise. I kissed him on the forehead before I rose and left his bedroom door slightly ajar. I had made a vow to my son, and I would not let him down. I'd seen the evidence with my own eyes, held the skull of the man Emma had murdered. As soon as she left the house, I was going to Leeds and taking Jamie with me. Chapter 61. Alex, 2017. I found Emma in the bathroom, furiously scrubbing at the soles of her feet. Puffs of steam clouded around her, and she seemed oblivious of my presence. How long had she been awake? Had she slept at all? Anger and pity fought for dominance as my emotions twisted inside me. I drew an intake of breath at the sight of her red raw skin. Emma, stop it, I said, taking the nail brush from her hand. I passed her a towel before turning off the tap, wincing as I almost burned my fingers.
We need to call the police, she said,
drying between her toes. And have another social services report made. My words were firm. Just what happened tonight? Jamie said you left him alone again. How could you?
Luke. He rang the house phone. At first I thought it was a silent call. Then I heard a voice on the other side. Next he started banging on the front door and then the back. It was driving me mad.
She raised her hands to her temples, as if her thoughts were causing her pain.
Then I saw him at the window. I'd had enough, so I ran outside to have it out with him. But he was gone.
Will you listen to yourself? I said, shaking my head. Running outside in your bare feet, leaving Jamie on his own.
It was only for a minute. I did it to protect him.
It was only for a minute in the car park, remember, when you almost got him killed. You're acting crazy. Isn't it time you told me the truth?
The truth,
she said, looking at me as if I was speaking a different language.
I've told you everything.
I almost laughed out loud. I could have told her about recovering Luke's body, that it couldn't possibly have been him at the door. And who had fathered Jamie? A ghost. But she was not in the right frame of mind to take it in. I thought about my son asleep in his bedroom and the pinky promise I had made. Right now, he would be safer without her, at least until we sorted this mess out. Emma had lied from the beginning. Now she was saying that Luke was back, even though Teresa had what was left of his body hidden God knows where. I had to accept the truth. Emma was unwell, a danger to those around her. It stopped here. She followed me into the kitchen.
You don't believe me, do you? You think I'm making it all up? How am I meant to protect my family if you don't listen to a word I say?
I stepped back as she leaned on the kitchen counter, suddenly aware of the block of knives near her hand. One of the knives was missing. I tensed, waiting for her next move. I would not be her next victim. She followed my glance to the knives behind her.
So you're frightened of me now? What's going on with you?
She said, her voice shaking.
I wouldn't hurt you. I'm just trying to make you understand.
I ran my fingers through my hair. I needed her to calm down, to recover the situation so we could both carry on with our day. I'm tired, I said. I'm going to bed.
What about Luke? We need to sort this,
she said. We will. Tonight when you get back from work. I promise. I hoped to leave it there, but Emma followed me into the bedroom.
Work? You want me to go to work?
I nodded, undoing the buttons of my shirt. It's best we keep things normal for now. Go to work. Give Josh a call. See if you can get him to come in. Then, when you've got cover for the shop, we'll go to Leeds. Sort out the sale of the house from there. After tonight, I'm not spending another night in this house. Emma sighed wearily.
I suppose we could rent somewhere until it all goes through.
I felt like a shit for lying to her, but I had no choice. I don't have to be in work until later. Let Jamie sleep in. I'll take him to school on my way.
Okay,
Emma said, hanging up her clothes in our wardrobe. I'll talk to Teresa when I get in. Tell her we're leaving early. I turned away, unable to look her in the face. I didn't expect to sleep, and it felt like minutes had passed when the alarm on my phone rang at 9. It was a relief to see that Emma had gone, leaving me a note to say she would ring me later on. I pulled back the duvet, a sudden thought making me freeze in my tracks. Jamie. What if she had guessed my plans and already taken him from me? An image flashed through my mind of Emma disappearing with my son. I had vowed to protect him, yet here I was, asleep in bed. I padded across the hall, my heart thundering in my chest. Would he have left without making a sound? Emma was paranoid and upset. Stories of mothers killing their children came to the forefront of my mind. Time seemed to slow down as I pushed open Jamie's bedroom door.
Chapter 62, Emma, 2017. I rubbed my eyelids, which were still sticky with makeup from the day before. I strained to remember if I had showered this morning. Had I even brushed my hair? My focus had been on keeping guard on our home. I didn't know how Alex could sleep after everything I had told him the night before. Had I known he'd be called into work, I would not have taken a sleeping tablet the night before. It had brought with it fierce nightmares, and when I first heard the phone ringing from the hall, I struggled to differentiate reality from my dreams. I had jumped out of bed, my heart beating wildly, as I crashed through our bedroom, knocking over our bedside lamp and almost falling to my knees. I had half expected the ringing to stop by the time I got to the hall. Hello? I breathed, trying to calm my voice in case it was Alex on the line. Yet even as I awaited a response, I knew he would have called my mobile phone. Just when I decided it was another silent call, a voice spoke from the other end. It was faint and muffled, torn by the backdrop of the wind. I held my breath as the words were delivered. Let me in, little puppy. Your master has come home. No, I gasped in horror, using both hands to slam down the phone. It was only then that I heard the banging noise coming from our front door. I stumbled through the darkness, flicking on every light to ease my discomfort. But as soon as I approached the door, the thumping stopped. It wasn't Alex. It couldn't be. But I felt his absence keenly and had summoned up enough courage to approach the door when a dreadful rapping noise of fists on glass filled the air. My heart beat like a jackhammer, and I could physically feel the sudden rush of adrenaline pumping through my veins. I jumped as a sharp rap rebounded against the back door. I needed my phone, but my mind was hazy, and I could not remember where I'd left it. I leaned against the wall as I tried to focus my thoughts. I needed a weapon. Running into the kitchen, I had every intention of grabbing a knife, anything to protect Jamie. That's when I saw a hooded figure pressed against my window. I screamed,
dropping the knife to the floor. Just like before, I blinked, and the figure had gone. Anger rose from within me. I picked up the knife and gripped the handle tight. Thinking back, I don't know what possessed me. I had felt trapped in a nightmare, my thoughts disjointed, but my resolve was fierce. I had to strike first, because this time Luke would not be satisfied with sex or telling my husband all. Murder was the only form of punishment that would satisfy him now. I opened the back door and ran into the night with the knife held high, screaming at Luke that I was ready for him. But the only sound was Jamie crying from inside the house. I jogged around the house, returning to the kitchen door, realizing too late that I had left it wide open.
"Mummy,"
Jamie spoke from the hall, tears streaming down his face. Shoving the knife in the drawer, I locked the back door, realizing what I had just done. I had frightened my son to death and acted like a madwoman. "It's okay," I said, my hands trembling as I pulled him towards me. "I've chased the bad man away." That's why he was crying, wasn't it? Because he had heard the banging too. As a key was shoved in our front door, my heart stalled in my chest. It was Alex. He had looked at us in bewilderment, and I heaved a breath of relief that I had put the knife back in the drawer. Looking back, it was hardly any wonder Alex had reacted with suspicion. Jamie had clung to him, terrified, and only then did I realize my feet were caked in mud. I tried to tell him about Luke, but his eyes were alight with anger and disbelief. He made me feel like I was losing my mind. Numbly, I walked into our bathroom while Alex took Jamie back to bed. It was only later, when we had spoken, that I realized my husband was right. We could not wait any longer. We needed to leave tonight. I was ready to leave for work by 7 a.m., quickly peeping in on a sleeping Jamie before I went. Shame washed over me as I recalled what had happened the night before. What had I been thinking of, leaving him alone and vulnerable in the house like that? I got into work, my shoulders drooping as I tried to carry on with my day. I knew Alex would take a dim view of me leaving Jamie alone, even if it were just for seconds. I took a slow breath as I pushed my anxiety down. Lately, I was going through periods of lucidity, then falling into what felt like clouds as I withdrew from the world. Anxiety was taking me over, and it frightened me to the core. I had not been able to bring myself to tell Alex the full extent of my issues. I tried to remember when I had last kept down a meal. As if on cue, my stomach rumbled to tell me it had been far too long. I smoothed down my print dress, catching sight of a dropped hem. My eyes trailed down to my feet, and only then did I realize I was wearing odd ankle boots. Both brown, both suede, but the one on the right had a fringe on the side. I exhaled a moan. What was happening to me? The jingle of the bell above the door set me in motion. "Hello? Anyone here?" It was Josh. But as I walked out to greet him, his face fell. "Emma? Are you okay?" he said, his face creased in concern. He was dressed in his usual work clothes, black trousers and a shirt. Unlike me, Josh had made an effort with his appearance. "I'm fine," I said, trying to sound more positive than I felt. "What are you doing here?" "You texted me," Josh said. "Don't you remember?" A vague memory infiltrated my mind. I brought my fingers to the side of my forehead, wishing the clouds would clear. "Oh, yes, I forgot. I was going to ask you to cover some extra shifts. Are you up for it? I'm leaving soon, but I need cover for the shop." "Yes, I texted you back, saying I was on my way in." "Thanks," I said. "I'm glad you're here." "I can work as many hours as you like," he said. "When do you need me?" "The thing is, I'm going today. I've not been..." I swallowed. "I've not been very well. I'm taking a break in Leeds. We're going to rent somewhere until the sale of the house goes through." "Want to talk about it?" he asked, eyeing me curiously. I shook my head. Not now. I'm sorry to leave you both in the lurch. The phone rang, bringing an end to our conversation. I checked my watch. It was only 9 o'clock. I wanted to ring Alex, see if he was up, but the thoughts of his disapproving voice were enough to make me wait. Today would be Jamie's last day in nursery. I could check him on the webcam and see how he was getting on. Tonight we would pack for Leeds, and tomorrow we would begin our new life. Just one more day. That's all I had to get through. One more day, and we could start again. But the thought felt like a lie. Life was not a fairy tale, and my happy ever after would not be so easily granted. Chapter 63, Emma, 2003. Tea for Two was an unusual name for a place that served mainly coffee. Regardless of the name, its customers did not seem to mind. It was one of my favorite haunts, when I could afford it. Lots of students came here because of the cut-price drinks. Balancing my cappuccino on the narrow window counter, I craned my neck to watch the baristas at work. My stay in hospital had clarified my thoughts, making me see Luke for the predator he was. My vision had been filled with his face as I tried to sleep at night. Every time I'd close my eyes, he would be there, but not in the way I wanted. I had imagined him hovering above me with a pillow, his face twisted and angry, just like before. I could believe it. Almost. But there was something I needed to know. Was the man I fell in love with just a figment of my imagination? Had Luke presented what I wanted to see? The answers came when I was sorting through the charred remains of the pathetic fire I had lit in my room. Embarrassed by my own stupidity, I had peeled back my photo from the picture of Luke that I had stolen. The girl beside him was pretty, young and blonde, with a face I had not recognized the first time round. It was only when I sought clarity that it sparked a memory in my brain. Now here I was, trying to gather up my courage as I watched her work. She could not have been much older than me, 18 perhaps, maybe more. By the time her customers had cleared, the remnants of my drink had gone cold. "Can I get you anything else?" she asked, rubbing a damp cloth over the counter and gathering up a sprinkling of crumbs. Dressed in black trousers and long-sleeved shirt, the badge pinned to her chest identified her as Vicky. "Just 5 minutes of your time," I said, slipping her photo from my pocket. "This is you in the photo, isn't it? You and Luke." She froze as she caught sight of the image, her eyes locking onto his face. "Where did you get that?" "In his bedroom," I said, slightly shamefaced. "Please, did you go out with him?" "Why do you want to know?" She cocked her head to one side. "No, surely not. You're just a kid. How old are you?" "I'm 16, I said, mildly offended. "Well, take my advice, honey. Steer well clear. He's not called Mr. Loverman Leaven for nothing." "It's too late for that," I said, staring at my empty cup.
"Fix, can you give me a hand?"
A bearded man popped his head from behind the counter. "Give us 2 secs, boss," she replied. If anything, she seemed relieved to be called away. "I can't get involved. Sorry," she said, before taking my empty cup. "Please," I said, touching her sleeve. "I just want to know what he's like." "He's a bastard. That's what he's like." Her forehead scrunched as she paused for thought. After a few seconds, she leaned forward, keeping her voice low. "For most people, a relationship begins when you date someone properly. Maybe that first kiss, or something more. For Luke, it's the first moment he sets eyes on you. Seducing you, gaining your trust, the lead-up is his favorite part. As soon as he's broken you down and got what he wants, he switches off. It's like that person you fell in love with just isn't there anymore." "So it wasn't just me," I said. "Far from it. He's had loads of teenage girlfriends. A proper little heartbreaker, he is. But take my advice. Keep away from him. He's got a nasty temper when he's provoked. But if I don't stop him, he'll just keep on doing it, I said, knowing I couldn't just leave it at that. The girl straightened.